residence.
Are constantly surrounded by unseen streams. Numerous invisible rivers composed of love, power, success, pain, all that we detest and desire. Some of these we navigate with ease, some we seek forever, and some are simply whirlpools spinning us into oblivion. While I am not a criminal, crime has stopped me from an early age. At this point, I can only see my life as an unending collision with evil, leaving me with but one conclusion. I ride the river of crime.
That manhole. You know, I'm tired of shoveling this crap.
Yeah, okay. Me too. I gotta go home anyway.
Hey, over here, guys! Dump it down this manhole! Shit, it's cold.
I'm beat.
Let's get out of here. Hey, look. Hey, something's moving. There! Something's down there.
It's just a rat. You know, goddamn sewer's full of them.
Shit, it ain't no goddamn rat. It's big! It's huge! Shit! Vince, grab that rope! I think I can get it around its head. Here, I got it! Hey, guys, help me pull it off!
Oh, Jesus, look at that thing. It's trying to open its mouth. Look at the goddamn teeth. Kill it. Kill that sucker.
Kill it!
Come on.
Kill it, quick!
Yeah. Kill it.
Kill it.
According to the New York Times, February 10th, 1935, three teenagers were shoveling snow into an open manhole when they found themselves staring into the open mouth of an alligator. After looping a rope around its head, they bludgeoned it with snow shovels, then proudly drove their trophy to a stove repair shop a couple of blocks away. Nobody ever figured out how a tropical animal made it into the sewers of New York in the middle of the winter. But it did become the foundation for one of America's best beloved urban legends. The cute baby alligators brought home from Florida that were ultimately flushed down toilets and into the sewers of the Big Apple. Now, the real crime in this story is not the killing of a small and undoubtedly bewildered alligator, although it was a criminal act, as far as I'm concerned. No, there's little doubt that the real crime is murder. But then, no one knows for sure. My story starts many years later. I was 10 years old and very interested in similar rumors about a small alligator supposedly swimming around a local pond.
Hello? Oh, hi, Tommy. What's up?
What?
Are you kidding me? Really? Wow, where?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll get my bike and come on over. Yeah, see you in a couple minutes. Mom? Mom, I gotta go. Tommy called and says there's this alligator over by the golf course.
No! No! Absolutely not! You are not going over there, no!
But Mom!
No! Did you hear me? No! You're not going! No, no, no! Did you hear me? Go to your room!
Little, little, little.
mom's harsh response really caught me off guard, but what the hell? I reacted like any normal 10-year-old boy. I went to my room, climbed out the window, and went to see the goddamn alligator. You know, one of the things we learn in life is that the most fun is usually free from expectation. Without the burden of anticipation, the things that just happen are always the best. While on the other end of life's emotional barometer are anything that's free, New Year's Eve, and of course, the gator at the duck pond. But much worse was the fact that as dozens of kids stood around an ugly brown pond staring at a pile of lumps, I looked up and saw my mom. This was big time bad.
How dare you? How dare you do that? When I strictly told you not to, how could you do this to me?
But Mom!
No excuses. No excuses, do you hear me? No TV, no football practice, no friends after school, nothing. Nothing, you hear? Nothing. For 6 months, nothing. Nothing.
But Mom!
Go to your room and this time you stay there. Do you understand me?
Yes, ma'am. Did you really think I would get eaten up by a 2-foot-long alligator?
You understand me?
Mom, are you okay? Mom, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Please stop. I'm sorry.
Confused and shaken, I hugged my mother, saying that I was sorry and begged for her forgiveness, even though I still wasn't sure what I had done. Soon she pulled herself together enough to tell me that it wasn't my fault. She said that a long time ago, during her freshman year in college, she had a best friend. Her name was Wanda Sue Judkins.
Wanda Sue and I were such great pals. We laughed, cried, talked about boys. We practically did everything together. Then our mother got sick. She was from Texas, a little town called Elmendorf, not too far from San Antonio. Well, she had to go home in the middle of the semester to take care of her mother. But we stayed in touch.
Mom said that her roommate had gotten a job as a waitress in Elmendorf, but unfortunately her mother's illness turned out to be fatal, leaving Wanda Sue without a family. But the young girl said she was saving money and would be returning to college the following year.
As the school year progressed, we made plans to see each other. I was going to take the school bus and stay with her over the Easter holidays. But she never answered my last two letters, leaving our plans up in the air. I tried to call, but never got an answer. I was so worried. So I finally decided to go anyway. I can still remember reading her last letter on the bus.
Dear Erlene, I guess I'm lucky to have a job, but things are a little strange here. My boss is a man named Joe Ball. He's nice enough, I guess. Maybe a little too nice sometimes, if you know what I mean. But it's the way he runs his business that I don't like. The restaurant bar, okay, but the big attraction is the alligators. Joe dug this pond back behind the place and filled it up with alligators. And every Saturday night, he feeds them. Last week it was a raccoon and a calf. And the week before that it was a couple of cocker spaniels and a baby pig. And they were alive when he threw them in there. It just gives me the creeps. After that, I felt weird every time he touched me. And he touches me a lot. I guess I should get another job. But there's not much work around here.
He touched her.
Given the ultimate circumstances of this sordid scene, the timing of my mother's arrival at the sociable inn in Elmendorf was, well, not good. The bar was surrounded by cop cars with more arriving when the bus dropped her off 100 yards or so from Joe Ball's dirt parking lot.
Anybody could tell something was wrong, bad wrong. I ran into the bar and practically knocked over this deputy sheriff. He had the strangest look on his face when I asked him where I could find Joe Ball. I remember it like it was yesterday.
Ma'am, Joe Ball done shot himself to death. Right in front of me. It was the damnedest thing I ever saw. He did it right over there behind that bar over there. Pulled out a pistol and just shot himself right in the head. We couldn't do a goddamn thing. We was just about to arrest him on murder charges, and he just up and kills himself. Well, that sure as shit says something to me. Pardon my French, man. But it seems like several of Joe's waitresses done disappeared, and everybody around here, everybody knows how he feeds them gators.
Joe Ball's alligators, of course, survived. And it wasn't long before they became the main attraction at the San Antonio Zoo. But Wanda Sue Judkins, my mom's best friend, disappeared without a trace.